The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to be looking ahead to the British and Irish Lions tour. This begins tomorrow. Summer squad includes a record 15 Irish players, but there will be some, not many, but some who will be going, who exactly are the Irish and British Lions and what is the history of them and should it be in that order? With us is Gordon Darcy, formerly capped repeatedly as a Lion. Gordon, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you, Anton?
I'm good. When did we add "and Irish"? Because my understanding was that Tony O'Reilly played for the British Lions.
I'm gonna hold up my hands here and go, I am the wrong person to be asking about details like that. John O'Sullivan from the Irish Times, or I can think of one other person who would almost undoubtedly have that bit of information to the tip of their tongue.
Okay, well, let me get to your wheelhouse then. How, when you become a British and Irish Lion, do you find out? How does the message get to you, or do you have to canvas and pitch yourself for the gig?
Well, you're canvassing and pitching yourself every time you play. So the Six Nations is probably the main, I think, body of work that you get. It gets you into the view and the frame of the selectors. There's obviously players who will have pedigree and maybe injured, but really you just have to be in the shop window in the lead up to it. How you find out, it has changed over the years. We were all crowded in David Lloyd Riverview when we used to train there, and it came up on the screen. I think it was Bill Beaumont got up and read out the names, and we couldn't hear because the volume was down and the ticker goes across the bottom. And my name was actually left out of for the selection. So after training, I turned off my phone, and about 12 hours later, my dad rang me and he was like, congratulations. And I could see all the flurry of text messages. So for the first 12 hours of my selection, I didn't think I was gone.
How significant is it to get selected? Because obviously there's a lot of stuff like national pride that goes with getting the Irish cap, but there's a particular personal success in being named into that elite squad.
There is. And it kind of luck kind of gets taken out of it a little bit as well. It is probably, it's a really merit-based selection. And obviously there are, depending on if you have blue, green, red or white tinted glasses, there's an openness to that interpretation. But I think for players, it is probably, it is one of those last things where you can, to have that on your CV, to have when you finish and you look back at it, you can just go, that is, you know, that was something really, really special. And not everybody gets there. Great players, in the same way great players have played their whole careers without winning trophies, great players have played and been the wrong place, wrong time, injuries, everything have kept them out of Lions tours. Like, you have no idea what the future holds. Like Caelan Doris, you know, very unfortunate, was going to be, from what we hear, was going to be captaining the Lions and is out of it now. Geordie Murphy, he would have been definitely touring, I think, back in 2000, probably 2001, he probably would have toured and broke his leg. It can be a cruel sport as well.
How do you take players who have grown up through different rugby systems and who have grown up usually in a sort of a cohort of either provincial or club teams and national teams? They are from very different backgrounds. They will have very different trainers, and they all have to get cohesive as a team in a relatively short space of time. How does that get done?
It's quintessentially the challenge of the Lions, because it's not just four countries. It's also the however many clubs are represented in that. So you have the initial challenge of getting players to subscribe to a system that they're comfortable with their countries, but they have time to get them used to that. You'll have a whole season. You'll have lots of preparation camps to get them into that. The Lions are 6 weeks. Really, and then a couple of maybe a week of actual preparation broken up into several longer camps. So it is beautifully simple. It's very light on detail, light on complexity. And one of the things you have to do is to break down those barriers as quickly as possible. In an age of ultra professionalism, one of the best ways to do that is getting lads out, having a bit of crack. Might be a few beers, it might be a lot of beers, depending on the individuals. But getting people to move away from the comfort of their own friends, the people they know, and embrace the people they were literally kicking the tire out of 3-4 months
ago. This is the thing. Presumably there must be some rivalries, though, where you say, I don't care. I have hated you my entire life. I may be on the Lions with you, but I will continue to hate you through this tour.
Oh, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. And it's naive to think that you would play your whole career in your club and your country with people you like. You don't have to like the people, but you have to respect them. And I don't think there will be any question about respect at the Lions level. So there's no gimmies. There's no, there's nobody else. There's four people, at least four people in every position to pick from. So everybody there. So you can think the guy is a bell end, but you will respect him when you cross onto the field. And that's fine. You can get on with it. And you just there going, well, there's 37 or 36 other people you can go and have a bit of crack with if you don't like that person. But everybody is super competitive. So they will park that, I suppose, any sort of ill feelings towards a personality to embracing the potential of winning a Lions series with a player.
I think back to the days of Jordan and Barkley and all of the guys on the Dream Team when the NBA pros played in the Olympics, and the sort of sense of fun they must have had of knowing effectively everybody on this team is the best of the best. Does the same apply with the Lions? Does it feel like an elite outfit, or is the fact that it has so little run-up time, does that take away from it?
I think actually it adds to it. Because it's a bit like the Barbarians. You know, you Barbarians, you get together for 6 days, and four of them are probably the most intense drinking you're ever going to do. What you purely rely on is brilliant players at the top of their game being able to figure it out and get on with it. And the Lions is probably an extended version of that, where you have the best of the best. You have the best of the best. Exactly it, the top 1%. And when, in some teams, you might have a skill gap or something. There isn't going to be that skill gap. So every player should be able to be in a position to create something or to problem solve on the pitch. The biggest challenge is, going back to your early question, is getting them to park what they're used to what they're being asked to do. And that, because in pressure times, this is effectively what happens in pressure points in teams. Decisions that players make will define the outcome of the game. And I know that sounds very, very simplistic, but you need them to be more aligned with what the game plan is for the Lions and not what they're comfortable with their club and country.
And in terms of the running then of the actual matches, how much pressure do you feel? Or does the fact that you don't at the end of it win a World Cup or win a Six Nations or go on the history list of try scorers for your nation, does that mean that you can have more fun with it?
Yes and no. It's a lot more fun off the pitch because you're constantly trying to get people to interact with different people, and you know, the rotation in around the squads and the different, so there's two teams basically training every week. You've got a Wednesday Saturday match, so you always have players movement in around that. But from a selection piece, I would say every player feels so intense pressure, because you don't know what the pecking order is in the coach's head, and you're doing your best to try and get to the top of that pecking order. And it is that thing we say to the under 13s, is there, you need to play what's best for the team, and being selfish for yourself and for the team, and trying to find that balance. Because if you just carry every ball, the coach is going to look at that and go, okay, well, he's not going to pass the ball if there's an opportunity on. If you pass the ball too much, they're looking at you going, oh, okay, well, maybe he's too nervous at this level. So it's probably, it's the closest that I think the top layer of players get to having to play the possible versus probables type selection scenarios.
It also must be challenging, I imagine, to play out of your normal pattern of partnership. I mean, if you're a tight head prop and you're used to working with a certain hooker, if you're a first centre and you're used, I mean, in your case, a centre partnership that had been so effective and so masterful, is it difficult to expect your dance partner to react a certain way and discover, hang on, this guy doesn't?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge, and that's why the test team, nobody gets the test team right. Because partnerships that you have no idea or no thought or no there's no thought gone into them, and nobody talked about it, and a partnership that suddenly gels, Bundiaki and Tupolato playing this week. Nobody would have picked them together. They're both 12s, and suddenly now one of them's playing 12 and 13. They could just magically click and be the centre partnerships in the first test, or not. So there will be combinations that just come out. Players find form, players play themselves into form, partnerships develop over a tour. So it is really hard to define and to try and understand it. But every player is at a different point in their season. Some of them are still managing defeat or, you know, the lows of the season that's just gone. Other people might have been injured. They're coming back into form. Other players might be tired, coming off the back of 2 or 3 years and, you know, physically impossible for them to peak. Mentally, some people are fried, some people are fresh. So all these dynamics play out, and the coaches kind of have to facilitate it and then be completely dispassionate, completely ruthless, and pick the best players.
Well, in the spirit of dispassionate ruthlessness, as you look at the Lions teams across the years, who's the greatest British and Irish Lion ever?
Wow. nothing to be too big about. My favorite ones, I'm going to completely avoid the question because my Lions history doesn't go back far enough to be equipped. Because I got asked recently what was my first Lions memory, and I didn't really watch much rugby when I was younger. So it was actually Brian's.
For God's sake, you and your stupid interest in the GAA, Gordon.
In 01, when he waltzed through Australia. But I think Paul Wallace, definitely one of those guys, good friend of mine. I think Martin Johnson, I think Brian is definitely up there across those tours, and Johnny Sexton as well. So going heavily Irish in all this in spirit or in solidarity with Andy Farrell.
By God, I'll tell you what, a tremendously diplomatic performance from somebody responding to a hot ball, Gordon. We would expect no less. Gordon Darcy, thank you so much. That's Gordon Darcy, our British and Irish Lions, with his dummy's guide to the Lions.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.